Today is January 28th, 2015, and this is episode number 291 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, principal instigator. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com. And if you'd like to comment on anything or question anything about the show, including the train horn outside of TMO Towers West, shoot us a note at acm at macobserver.com. Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I wouldn't want it, you know, to not be picked up by the microphone.
No, and how are you ever going to earn the title of Chief Hobo if we can't even hear the forlorn train in the background? Just saying.
Oh, it's so true. I wish I had said Chief. Why didn't you should have suggested that. Oh, man.
Well, I just thought of it right now.
Could have been Chief Hobo instead of Principal Instigator. Yeah. And I'm Brian Chaffin, Chief Hobo.
The great thing is,
full
once
story,
you've edited,
etc.
Yeah, no one will know.
No one will know. No one will know. We're magics. We're magics with the edits here
What they're calling it
TMO
these days?
Recording studio.
Yeah.
Yes, magics.
Magics with a K.
Magics. Actually, you know, our listeners really should be pleased at the things we truly do cut out.
That's a really good point. You are welcome, dear listeners.
Indeed. For instance, there's the one about the. yeah. We could never put that on the air.
No. Well. Not if we're going to keep our rating.
All right, let's. It's so ridiculous.
Can you imagine what Apple, this would be like if we actually had a script?
I know, or like knew what we were doing.
No, that would just take the adventure out of it.
It's true, it would. Speaking of adventure, Apple went on a financial safari yesterday. That's ridiculous. But Apple announced earnings, and it's like. Like Apple took all of the money and then made all the money and then kept all the money.
Financial safari?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just winging it. The train horn rattled me.
It did. It clearly did.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, Apple's results, right? The $18 billion more profit than any company in history. It's so much money. And we said that I wrote this yesterday in the piece. I called it a crap ton of money. We mentioned that on the TDO this morning.
Yes,
but it's a staggering amount of money, and think about how small Apple's product lineup is.
Yeah, compared to a lot of other companies. It is surprisingly small, and I'm still kind of stuck on the whole thing about Apple made more money in one quarter than any other company has ever made.
Yeah,
in one quarter. Which means that that Apple made more in one quarter than even the most successful oil companies.
Yes. Yes, way more. And 76 now? I've already forgotten. Is it 76 billion or 74.6 billion?
I think it's 74.6 because the iPhone sales was 76.4.
74.5.
Five. New math screws me up every single time.
Yeah, every single time. So $74.6 billion in revenues and earnings of $18 billion. That's earnings per share, $3.06. Now, for a little context, before Apple's 7-to-1 stock split, that would have been $21.18. Not, new math is apparently screwing me up too. $21.42 per share.
Brian, you don't need to feel bad about the math screwing you up. Hobos have trouble with that all the time.
It's true. It's true. As I well know, because I'm Chief Hobo. $3.06 after the 7-to-1 stock split, per share in profits is just, it's so much money. So much money. Now, we talked a lot this morning on the TDO's daily observations about Apple's logistics. But in addition to the logistics, you know, we had 5.5 million Macs sold in a single quarter,
which is actually a really good number, although in comparison to everything else, it seems minuscule.
Well, so Apple does bring in more. The average selling price of a Mac, the ASP of a Mac, is higher than the ASP of an iPhone. So, yeah, 5.5 million Macs definitely is, you know, it's a lot of money. It's a massive amount of money that a lot of other companies wish they could make, because all of Apple's computers are actually profitable, unlike most PCs.
True.
No one's making any money except for Microsoft, and increasingly that might not even be true for Microsoft, since Windows 10 is going to be free.
Yeah, but only for a year.
Only for a year, yeah, good point. And do you know if, is that going to be free for OEMs or free for consumers?
I think it's just free for consumers. I'm assuming that with the way Windows licensing works for OEMs, that that they'll still be paying for it.
Because, they'll still be paying, yeah.
Because the license fees that they pay, it covers software that they don't even install on all their computers.
Yeah, Microsoft's good like that.
Yeah, which does make for a real easy way to artificially boost your sales figures.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And it's also just one of the reasons why Macs are becoming ever more popular. Apple continue to gain share. Now, we'd already seen IDC's numbers for the December quarter. And I think they were reporting roughly what Apple reported, 5.5 million Macs, maybe a little bit less. But Apple gained share again. Macs are doing well. iPhones are doing well. 74.5 million units. That's well above the 69 million units that Wall Street was expecting. Mm-hmm. And massively above the 51 million units from last year.
Right.
You know, it's almost 50% more, right?
Yeah, and that's not even using hobo math.
That's not even right.
Yeah, it's amazing just how big of a jump we've seen year over year in iPhone sales. And this is even as there have been pundits and analysts out there that have said that interest in the iPhone is gone and people aren't buying them anymore. Mm-hmm. If people aren't buying them, then how could the numbers jump up so high?
Yeah, and don't forget that Apple reports sales, not units shipped.
Right. Yeah, that's an important distinction, because a lot of other companies, Samsung, will report what they're just pushing into the channels.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fantabulous quarter. Now, the Wall Street rewarded Apple. Let me see what the closing price was. But Wall Street rewarded Apple today, sending the stock to an all-time high at, he says, slowly, while E-Trade slowly. There we go. 115 was the closing price, 115.31. That is an all-time closing high. And the stock got up to 118.12 in intraday trading. And for the day, it was up $6. That's because there was some selling by people who hedged poorly.
Yeah.
Before the quarterly conference call, before the quarterly announcement. So that's part of, it was down $3 yesterday. So it's up $6 today, meaning that from yesterday to today, it's a gain of $3. And it's just, it's pretty incredible.
It is. And you'd think that these people that hedged poorly would have learned by now that Apple has a very consistent track record, several years now, where you don't bet against Apple at earnings report time.
Well, I beg to differ. It used to be there would be a run-up in the stock before the earnings.
Yes. But the past several quarters...
And then everyone would sell afterwards.
Yeah, but the past several quarters, the prices dropped before and shot up after.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I don't think it's fair to say you would think people would have learned. I mean, because yesterday's movement for Apple was predicated in part on disappointing economic news and some disappointing earnings from other companies. So it wasn't necessarily a bet against Apple. It was more like, well, if everybody else is having trouble, Apple might have trouble too. And I've got all these profits that I made. Let me lock those in by selling now.
Yeah. Okay. There is that. I just find it interesting. Well, I don't get why so many people want to do that short trade stuff with Apple stock, because you buy it and it just keeps increasing in value. Why would you not just wait?
Except for when it decreases in value, though.
Yeah, but overall, it's been on a steady upward climb. So it seems to me like the kind of stock that you want to buy with the way the patterns are right now, right before the earnings report call, because that's when the prices will be lowest, and then just hold on to it because it's just going to keep going up.
Well, we're not giving stock advice.
No, we're not. And
I own a paltry amount of shares.
And to be clear, I don't own any stock at all. So I'm clearly in a position to know exactly how people should invest their money.
Clearly. And the thing about Apple stock is that it actually is fairly volatile. So people certainly make money day trading Apple stock. I personally have been holding my tiny insignificant share for a long time. I don't know that it's irrational to day trade Apple. I wouldn't do it.
There you go. You wouldn't do it, that's good enough for me.
All right, fair enough.
So thank you for validating my statement.
You're welcome. So let's see here. We learned a couple things. One of the things that we learned is that we will no longer be learning about Apple retail store performance.
Yeah, that was conspicuously gone from the earnings report.
No visitor numbers, no sales numbers, no nothing on retail. They actually just said that from now on that those results are going to be lumped in with the geographic regions in which the stores operate. And that's all you get. And no more iPad or iPod numbers.
iPod, yeah.
That's actually a completely different deal. I mean, the iPod just doesn't matter anymore. I mean, there's once upon a time where Apple's stock performance actually was predicated more on iPod than anything else. But those days are, you know, gone since like 2008, year after the iPod was released, was announced, maybe 2009 at the most. So, you know, the iPod is increasingly irrelevant to Apple's bottom line. So it makes sense for Apple to not report that. The retail numbers, though, that is interesting to me because for a long time, Apple touted retail numbers loudly. They trumpeted the retail numbers.
Yeah, so why are they not now?
My guess is because they don't need to. I mean, so, you know, we used to, like, Apple would tell us how many people were... how many people coming in the stores that bought Macs were new to the Mac. Mm-hmm. Apple would tell us the average daily visitation rate per store, that is, on average. Apple would tell us average store performance, and it would be based on stores open for, I think, the last 12 months. So I think that's what they would do.
That sounds right.
And once upon a time, Apple even told us the amount of profits... generated the amount of product profits, hardware profits generated from in-store sales.
So really, they were offering up validation for why they had a retail presence. And they don't need to do that anymore.
They don't need to do that. Everyone gets it. Everyone gets it. And on top of that, the subject of my the piece that I wrote yesterday was simply that one thing that people may not realize, there's no legal obligation to report your specific product numbers. In fact, most companies don't. Most companies don't. They'll tell you how divisions did. They might tell you how, like the car companies, some of the car companies might tell you, you know, like the, you know, the Pontiac family did this or the Chevy family did that. But much of the computer industry will not report specific numbers. The smartphone industry, no one's reporting actual sales to customers, except for Apple.
And with products that aren't being broken out anymore, I could see where some people would say, "Oh, well, the numbers must not be that good."
Yeah, but you don't do $74.5 million in $1 billion in revenue if your numbers aren't that good.
Right, but you know, haters gonna hate.
Oh, so true.
Yeah, I think this is actually more of what you were saying earlier about Apple doesn't need to give these numbers anymore. Therefore, they're not going to.
Yeah. And you know, it allows Apple to better control the narrative. You know, we are used to Apple controlling the narrative in terms of its product, controlling the narrative in terms of what it tells the press or allows the press to see, or the kind of access that the press is allowed to get. But what we really haven't seen is Apple maniacally controlling the message to Wall Street.
And it looks like that's changing now.
It does look like that's changing. And, you know, Apple is just plain so big. They're moving so many huge numbers of profitable products that, you know, clearly Apple doesn't feel the need to justify itself. I think you nailed it with that phrase, justifying.
Yeah, and why give up any more information than you need to?
Why give up any more information than you need to, especially when you're Apple?
Yes. And Apple, of course, is notorious for playing their cards close to their chest. I use that analogy just for you, Brian.
Oh, thank you. It's a good analogy. Turn of phrase, even.
Yes, indeed.
A metaphor. It's not a metaphor.
It's not really a metaphor.
Yeah. Kind of wish I hadn't said that. Let's go ahead and I'll cut that out, too.
Okay, good.
No one needs to know I said that.
No. No, because that would totally screw up your mostly pedantic thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Although discussing it is mostly. Anyway, so it was an interesting day. It was a very interesting day. It's a very interesting day. And G Munster did ask about the Apple TV, you know, LOL.
Well, I'd be really worried if he didn't ask. You know, it's like, Gene, you know, are you okay?
At some point, he's going to be validated.
Maybe.
Some point, you know, I firmly believe that his initial obsession with Apple TV was predicated on actual knowledge. He had something real from the supply chain.
Well, Apple experiments with a lot of stuff that's never going to see the light of day.
You're right. You know, we talk about that frequently. The risk is, you know, even when you get a real piece of information from Apple supply chain, interpreting what that's actually going to mean is the real magic, is the actual difficulty. And, you know, this, but I think Gene had more than just, you know, a random piece of information from the supply chain. I think he had something. He had something on the Apple TV. And I, okay, let me start this over. I realize that one reason why I'm willing to give Gene Munster a little bit of credit on this is because I personally believe that Apple was ready to roll with something and got stymied by the television industry, the content industry.
That's very possible. Now, but see, I can totally see that happening, but as something that affected the path for Apple TV and not a television itself.
Right.
Yeah, I would still be very stunned if at any point Apple releases a television.
You need to give the interns a cough drop?
Yeah, yeah.
And, they're real folks. All this time, you might have thought we made them up.
But now you know.
But now you know.
Which means at some point social services is going to show up because of the whole closet thing. No, the interns, they're fake.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Right. Right. All right. So earnings report, a huge deal. We also got some news. We got some news on the Apple Watch.
Yes. And there are two things about that were really big for me. First, we got news about when the Apple Watch is shipping. And second, mm-hmm. the way we got it. So Tim Cook says Apple Watch shipping in April. Mm-hmm. So now we know it's going to be in April.
Yep. For the first hard month, we only had early 2015 before.
Right. And the way he told us, it was just offhand. It was the way it was presented, it was almost as if it was a throwaway sentence in a bigger statement. Like, oh, by the way, and it ships in April, and it keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
And just that delivery really caught me off guard, because I figured when Apple announced when Apple Watch will ship, that it would be a bigger statement.
Yeah.
But it was just, oh, yeah, ships in April.
Yeah, ships in April. And, of course, you know, one other thing that we've talked about quite a bit is the reality that Tim Cook is the most careful communicator, the most controlled communicator in technology, certainly at the CEO level.
Yes.
When he says something, he means to say it. The one time I've seen him drop a shield is that time at the shareholder meeting a couple of years ago now. 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, right. Where he kind of lit in to a couple people. But he meant to light into them.
I actually think he was angry. I think that was the most uncontrolled we've seen him.
Oh, I'm sure he was very angry. Yeah. Yeah. And I still find it interesting that for everyone that was there and saw what happened, you're the only person that really got what happened.
That's true. Which, of course, could mean that I'm wrong.
No,
I'm not.
I think everyone else just needed to work on the perception skills.
That is very like true. No one called me. No one said I was wrong.
No, no one.
The people that were there, including Apple. Not that Apple necessarily would. You never know with them, but whatever.
Yeah, you never know. So, but anyhow, the way Tim dropped that line on us, where it just almost seemed like an absent-minded thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tim Cook. That was not absent-minded. That was very right. calculated.
Right.
So, so why give us the Apple Watch release window in that way?
That is, it's a good question. Now, I believe that the way Apple normally plans its conference calls, they've got a list. They put together a list of things, that they want out, a list of things they're willing to discuss at FAST.
Mm-hmm.
And then the list of everything else that, you know, LOL, we're not talking.
Right. And so the stuff that falls in that middle group, that's kind of the Easter egg stuff, because analysts have to ask a question in the right way to earn the special Easter egg response.
Right. that's exactly the case. And but with for the list of things that Apple wants to get out, Tim Cook or now Luca Maestri?
Uh-huh.
Maestri. Luca, one of the two of them will find a way to answer that question, to work that into an answer with someone.
Right. And apparently they really wanted us to know that April's the launch window.
Yes. It does seem like that's the case.
Yeah. Now, Tim also gave us another nice little bit of information with that. So now we know how to interpret what they mean when they give us launch timeframes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was early year means like the first 4 months.
4 months, right. Not quarter.
Not quarter.
First 4 months.
First 4 months.
Any time in the first 4 months.
And then was it mid-year was the next 4 months. And then end of the year is the last 4 months of the year.
Yes. It's the first time we've had anything official on this. As a matter of fact, people have been obsessing over the release date for the Apple Watch since Apple said early 2015. And many people were saying that, you know, for Apple, that could well mean the first 6 months. But now we have the official Rosetta Stone.
Yes, we do. Rosetta Stone says 4 months.
Which was your phrase. I stole it from you.
I'm happy to share.
Fair enough. But I want our listeners to know who came up with it. That was you. So the Rosetta Stone for Apple timing. First 4 months is early, middle 4 months is mid, and the last 4 months is late. And that is, it's so interesting that Apple would let us in on that little secret.
Which means that they have a reason why they want us to know that.
Well, in this case, I think, you're spot on because... In this case, I think that Tim Cook wanted everyone to know that the Apple Watch is not going to be late.
That's true. And he even called out, I forgot which analyst it was, that asked about the Apple Watch. And in his question to Tim, noted that it's shipping 2 months late. And Tim was like, whoa, no. That is not the case at all. It's shipping right on schedule.
Yeah.
We never said... whatever the time frame was that the analyst was dropping, and then that led to the Rosetta Stone moment in finding out that it's actually shipping in April.
Yeah, and this is consistent with Angela Arendt's time frame in the email that she sent out to retail employees.
Oh yeah, it totally fits with.
And that was back in September or December. I mean.
Right. So realistically, we've known, even if we weren't completely certain, pretty much when the Apple Watch is going to ship. And knowing Apple's typical time schedules for launches, we can probably narrow down now within a couple days when Apple Watch is going to ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, if I bring up a calendar right now, so we know it's in April... And Apple tends to do these things on Fridays. So it's either going to be April 17th or April 24th.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
Getting all wound up here. And, yeah.
That's what the kids say.
That's what the kids say. Totally genuine.
Yeah, totally. Because you keep it real.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
On the down low.
Daddy-o.
Yeah, daddy-o. So anyway, yeah, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff to come out of that. Knowing the Rosetta Stone of timing is interesting. Knowing that the Apple Watch is going to come out in April is certainly good to know. Lets me save up my pennies appropriately.
Uh-huh, because you're going to need to save at least $500.
Yeah, yes, I am, at least. I want the Apple Watch, the middle one, the stainless steel one.
I totally understand. I think the black one looks the best. And I think that having the sapphire crystal as opposed to the Ion-X glass will be a really good thing.
Yeah, but you're Mr. Activity Boy. Why wouldn't you get the lighter one, the aluminum one with the... With the glass meant to be sweated on and smudged and smashed and stuff.
That is probably exactly what I will get. Simply because of all the sports activities and outdoor athletic stuff that...
Yeah, dude, you just claim to do sports activities.
Well...
I call balderdash.
Snowshoeing, backcountry skiing, downhill skiing.
It's not sport. It's activities. It's like that's being outdoorsy.
Okay, I get all outdoorsy and stuff. So I'll get the outdoorsy and stuff watch.
You know, I had some friends that were watching one of the playoff games for football, and I stumbled in and said, "Oh, is this the one with the sticks or the one with the little circle and the backing board?" And I was very pleased with backing board.
Backing board, I like that.
Backing board.
That's what you lean against when you need to row the kayak, yes. Right?
Yes.
See? Sports and stuff.
Sports and stuff, right. Anyway, yeah, Apple Watch. Shipping in April.
I think it's really funny that you totally called me out on saying sports activities.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't let you get away with that one, man.
Yeah, well, and actually, to be fair, I don't want people thinking that they could call me up and say, "Hey, can you be the extra on our football team or something like that?" Because, of course, I'd come back and say, "Well, what do the costumes look like?"
Sending your dad into paroxysms. I think I'm pronouncing that word correctly.
The fact that you had to slow down to say that was awesome.
Mostly pedantic.
Mostly
pedantic. Now, another place I like to be quite pedantic is on my blog. GeekTells.com. T-E-L-L-S. GeekTells.com.
And it's a very fine blog. I'm not just saying that.
Aw, thank you. Thank you. I wish I could update it more. I could. I could update it a lot more. I wish I had time to update it more.
There you go. Because that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, I could update it on a minutely basis if I so chose.
Right. But we have a duty to our readers and our listeners.
It's true. Yep.
Yeah. But I love that you have given us some insight into the process that you've gone through as you've been writing your novel.
Yep. Thank you. It's been an interesting process. Fun to talk about it. Now, Jay Kristoff, whom we've mentioned on the show before. I mentioned on the show before, at the very least, because I happen to like him. He's a writer, talented, newish writer. I won't call him a young writer because I think he's in his late 30s. Anyway, the point is, newish.
That's still young.
It's still, okay, fair enough. Jay Kristoff pointed out in a blog post recently that when you haven't gotten a book published, you blog about getting a book published. And then once you actually get a book published, you stop blogging about getting your book published and theoretically blog about books and events and stuff like that. So I'm clearly in that stage of still trying. Anyway, the geektales.com. You are at freshbrewedtales.com, T-A-L-E-S.
Yes, indeed. Where I don't talk about how you're writing your books.
That's true. You don't, which is a shortcoming on your part, but we're going to go ahead and overlook that this once.
I appreciate your generosity. Thank you. Yeah. No, instead, I pay attention when I sit in coffee shops and I see people do really ridiculous things.
Yeah.
And then I take a photograph of them or draw a picture of them and write about what they have done and then put it on Fresh Brew Tales. I actually, the other day, I was in a coffee shop, and I had four separate incidents that I witnessed that were totally worthy of Fresh Brew Tales.
Four. So, one setting.
Yes.
One visitation to a coffee shop. You had four Fresh Brew Tales worthy events.
It was, as they say, a target-rich environment. So I am partway done writing up the first one, And
what's it about? Give us a preview.
Oh, it's about a teenage boy that seems to be filled with angst and anger and loud music.
Fair enough. All right. Can't wait to read that one. Now, I truly enjoy seeing the photographic evidence, or better yet, the drawing evidence when you don't get a photograph. It's very fun. Freshbrewtales.com.
Yeah, go check it out. And go check out Brian's Geek Tales blog, too.
Aw, thank you. Thank you kindly. So, well, let's see here. Now, we also had the news that Apple shipped the billionth iOS device in December, right?
Yes, and it was a space gray 64 gig iPhone 6 Plus.
Did he say December 22nd? Does that sound right?
I don't remember the exact date.
Well, it's a good thing we did our research.
Hey, I remembered exactly what iPhone it was.
That's true. Space gray. Now, what was the capacity?
64 gig.
64 gig. Okay, which is...
So clearly, you're not listening to me.
Because
all our listeners are like, dude, he just said that.
You weren't talking about me, so, you know, I didn't think I needed to tune in. But now, what's interesting is that Tim Cook said it was the billionth iPhone shipped, but it was shipped to Apple because Apple kept it.
Well, it still counts as shipped.
Yeah, I wonder if he gave himself like some sort of, you know, like prize.
Yeah, he gave himself a 64 gig space gray iPhone 6 Plus.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a good point. No, but I think it's interesting that Apple kept its own trophy. But it's also interesting that Apple has made enough iOS devices for one in every, what, 6.5 people to have one. Not all of those devices, of course, are still being used.
Right. Some of them ended up in blenders. We've seen that on YouTube.
Yes, several of them. And many of them have been dropped.
Yes.
And you know, we've seen video evidence of that on YouTube. Some of them have been chucked. Of course, other ones, you know, just wore out or sitting in drawers. And it's not like there are a billion devices out there being used, but there are hundreds of millions of iOS devices being used. And it's another staggering number.
It is. And to think that in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't that long ago when people were questioning how many years Apple would be in business.
It was not that long ago. It was only, I mean, you know, I think the last death knell I published was sometime last year. Published meaning covered.
Yes.
Late 2013 at the absolute latest, but I'm pretty sure I've got a death knell from 2014. You know, if only we had some way of checking.
If only.
We should work on that and find some way to check things like that. And let's see here. Last one published May 20th, 2014, less than a year ago.
You totally could have had the interns take care of that.
John Benjamin from the Guardian Liberty Voice. With the years of innovation behind it and technology changing and improving faster than ever, Apple's lack of creative growth might be an indication of the people who are now running it. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is find a coach, especially when the one who took you to the finals is a relative. Current market shares and sales trends would indicate that all is fine, but actual product lack of growth and development might hint that the Apple is rotting from the inside. Ugh.
Why do they always do an analogy relating to fruit and rotting?
Well, because it's Apple. It's low-hanging fruit. It's low-hanging fruit.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And well, then, of course, in March 2014, Trip Chowdhury said that Apple only has 60 days left to either come up with something or they will disappear. It will take years for Apple's $130 billion in cash to vanish, but it will become an irrelevant company. It will be a zombie if they don't come up with an iWatch.
So clearly Apple is screwed because they did not release a product within the
or announce. They didn't even announce it.
That's right. So that 60 days came and went, and now Apple is going to suffer from the Chowdhury effect.
Yeah, dead company walking. Completely irrelevant.
Yeah. It's and you know, obviously you can tell by the fact that they made more money than any other company last quarter. They've sold in one quarter over 74 million iPhones, and Mac sales are increasing. Clearly a doomed company.
In July of 2013, Dave Logan said, "Apple appears to have a few years of its magic left. It will use this scarce resource to make its existing products better, faster, cheaper, blah, blah, blah. Support for more today will introduce new products. But the days when Apple would imagine the unimagined, led by its core values, and bridge the worlds of technology and aesthetics by doing what no one else had ever thought of before, that's the Apple of the past." Rocco Pendola, buddy of mine, when he was still working at the street, he said, "There's no question now. Apple is dead." It was 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, year and like 8 months ago.
So maybe this last quarter's figures are just part of a death throw.
It must be. It must be some kind of weird fluke, because clearly Apple is actually either dead or gone. And it's just an illusion.
You know, I think that Apple will continue to be a strong and vibrant company as long as they don't get lazy. If they at some point decide that no one can catch them anyhow and they let their guard down, then someone's going to come along and be the next Apple.
Now, if you had gotten through the end, to the end, of Walter Isaacson's Steve Jobs biography, you would have seen the quote where Steve Jobs is telling Walter Isaacson that when Walter Isaacson asked Steve Jobs, what's the thing you created that you're the most proud of? And Walter explained right in his own narrative that he was expecting Steve Jobs to say something like the Mac or the iPhone or maybe even the next cube. But instead, Steve Jobs said, "It's Apple. You know, I've worked for the last several years," and this is a paraphrase, "I've worked for the last several years to ensure that Apple can live on without me, basically." And if one thinks, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again because it's just so important to me. If you believe that Steve Jobs was the bee's knees, when Steve Jobs tells you that he put into place what is needed to keep Apple being an innovative company, to continue to innovate, then you should believe that he accomplished that.
And I believe he did accomplish that. And I think Tim Cook is running the company because Steve knew that he's the man that can take the company forward with that vision. But that he won't be, well, saddled with feeling he needs to do what Steve would want. And I think that's important. Tim can take the company forward, and he can take it forward with his vision, which, of course, does come out of Steve's vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see Apple becoming a lazy company. I'm just saying that's where I could see Apple having its downfall, if it ever did reach that point.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think that they have successfully instituted the values needed to be innovative.
And I think you're right.
All right. It's good.
All right, so it took us a while to realize we're in agreement on that. But go us.
Yeah, yay us. We've had a breakthrough, you and I.
We have. I feel so much closer to you now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you know, I think that's a show. We're a little bit a little bit shorter today, but I think that's all right.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. We said what we needed to say, and I think we avoided any potential legal issues with the interns, so all is well.
Yeah, mostly.
Mostly. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com, and thanks for listening.
Right. Every time our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. If you modify the script, you know, our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and that's all for this week.
As always, stay subscribed and modify it. Why would I do that when I can just copy and paste every single week?
Fair enough. We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.